everyone. Welcome back to Dad Space, the podcast for dads by dads. If you have a gamer in your house, and I know my kids growing up loved their games, and I wouldn't see them for days on end. Michael Jacobus is on today. We're going to be talking about ResetSummerCamp.com. I love the website. I love everything about what Michael and his team does. If you have a gamer and you want them back at the kitchen table again, and you want to see the eyeballs of your children, Michael has an amazing camp designed to help your kids with their addiction to gaming and all of that. And we've already chatted once, and now I have him on the show. I'm so excited, Michael, to have you here. Welcome to Dad Space.
Thank you, sir. I'm excited to be here.
This is good stuff. Good stuff. Michael, tell us a where you are in this big world of ours. Let's start there.
I live in Southern California in Orange County.
Beautiful. And you have not just one camp location, you have multiple locations for your Reset Summer Camp. Tell everybody, A, what is Reset Summer Camp and how did all this start for you? This is an amazing story for me. I love this.
Okay. Well, when I was a kid, I went to summer camp. I grew up going to summer camp. Then I became a junior staff member and then a regular staff member and finally a program director and a camp director. I've had summer camp in my blood my whole life. So I have been a camp director for over 35 years. And typically those are traditional camps, you know, like Boy Scouts and YMCA or church camps and the kind of camps that kids are excited to come to and, you know, sign up for next year before they leave this year. And, you know, all of that kind of stuff. That's my background. But I'm also a dad. And of my three now grown children, my oldest, when he got into high school, he became addicted to the online video game World of Warcraft. Right. And I didn't know anything about gaming addiction. I didn't know gaming addiction was possible. His mother and I, you know, would have daily battles, daily arguments with him. His grades were failing. I mean, it was a white knuckle fest to get him through high school. And it always kind of bothered me that there was nothing to send him to, no kind of intervention. You know, he wasn't so bad that we needed to consider a wilderness program or a therapeutic boarding school. Not that I knew that they existed either or that we could afford those kind of things.
Yeah.
And then in 2018, when every kid in the country or the world seemed to be addicted to the video game Fortnite, and the World Health Organization declared gaming disorder as a diagnosable thing,
right?
I took my love for summer camp and its transformative effects on young people and hooked up with a clinician who works in Los Angeles, and we created Reset Summer Camp. Reset Summer Camp is a four-week residential program, and it focuses on digital detox and life skills for teenagers.
I'm on your website, too, and the one thing I see as well, which we'll get into later, is you actually have a course now online for parents as well to kind of help them. So we can talk about that in a little bit as well, right?
Yeah, we just created that online course this past December, so it's barely a month old.
Good.
But we created it so parents could access our program year-round. You know, I talk to parents every week wanting to know if, you know, if we have any after-school kind of programs or weekend programs or spring break programs. And Reset, to do a quality digital detox, I really need the kids for 4 weeks, which is why it's 4 weeks long. And it's on a university campus. The kids are in dorms. They have roommates. You know, we change the roommate assignments every week because life is uncomfortable and you need to get used to being in uncomfortable situations. We all go to bed at 9:30 with lights out at 10. And as you can imagine, no teenager today is sleepy at 10 o'clock at night.
No.
But we wake them up at 6:30 in the morning and gather at 7 and go to breakfast at 7:30. We have a really rigid sleeping and eating schedule. So by the time the 4 weeks is over, they're actually reset, which is why we called it that, back to who they were before they got lost in their digital addictions. They've made social connections with real in-person, real-life other kids who, you know, upon arrival, wouldn't make eye contact, you know, didn't speak, had horrible social skills. Wow. And by the end of the 4 weeks, they're sad to leave because they've created bonds with my staff and the other kids at camp. But we created the online program so parents could pretty much do what we do at camp year round. And it's a lot of work for the parents. It's a much cheaper option than sending your kid to camp. But we also created it for parents who, you know, camp is too far away. It's in July. And like right now, it's February. Also, you know, it's not the cheapest camp around. So if you can't afford it, if it doesn't fit your schedule, you can do it yourself at home with the help of our online course.
Great. Geographically, where are the locations for your camps currently?
This summer, the U.S. camp is in Santa Barbara, California. And the Canadian camp is just about an hour's drive east of Montreal in Quebec.
Good. Awesome. Is there plans in the future to grow this even more?
Yeah, we are talking about opening an East Coast location in North Carolina and maybe one in Texas. I don't want to have too many locations because I like keeping it small and keeping it as a really solid quality program. The Canadian program is a licensee, and it's a gentleman I've known for years who's got a background in special needs camping. So that'll be a good quality program as well. And then I do get requests from other countries. And, you know, I'm in talks right now with South Korea, India, Australia.
Wow.
But it really needs to be, you know, a quality program with the right therapist on staff and the right location to do the life skills that we do. Because we have a culinary program. We teach the kids how to cook and about smart shopping. We teach them to do their own laundry and how to pump a tank of gas. But we also have, you know, summer camp fun. We go to the beach once a week. We go zip lining. We, you know, play volleyball and have music. I mean, it's summer camp. It's just summer camp with a therapeutic twist.
Wow. Okay. So, Michael, is everybody that comes to Reset Summer Camp fully bought in as a camper, or are they coming maybe against their will to this camp?
Well, that's funny because most kids who arrive at our program are not excited to be there.
No.
Which is completely different from my traditional summer camp background, like I said, where kids are signing up for next year before they leave this year. I get calls from parents all the time saying, how do I convince my kid to go? Because they won't, he refuses. And I'll say, you know, show them a wilderness program website and show them a therapeutic boarding school website and show them our website and say, you know, this has gotten out of hand. You're going to one of these programs this summer, so pick one. Okay. Invariably, they'll pick ours because it's only 4 weeks. It's co-ed. It's, you know, near the beach. You know, it's not the punishment they think it is. They're just worried about not having access to their video games or their phones for their social media. You know, I'd say probably 2/3 of the kids who come to our program are boys who are into gaming.
Yeah.
The rest are girls who are more into social media. We do get some boys who are into social media and girls who are gamers, but it's more rare. And then we'll get a handful of kids who are what we call streamers. So they're just constantly absorbing content, be it Netflix or YouTube or porn, or, you know, they're just constantly absorbing video content, but it's not necessarily a game or a social media.
Wow. That's interesting that it's beyond just gaming, right? That's amazing. I can't imagine getting a whole group of Fortnite fans in one space and they're not allowed to look at Fortnite. That's got to be so frustrating. They're like, oh, I could show you this, but they can't do any of that. So that's got to be an interesting.
Well, what's funny is they all have this online addiction, you know, in common, and they all don't want to be there and they all hate us and hate their parents for sending. So it kind of creates this tribal us against them thing, which from a therapeutic standpoint works out great. You know, go ahead and hate us on the first day. That's perfect. You know, it's the indifferent kid that is hard to reach, but the kid who hates us is easy. And after a couple days, you know, I tell my staff the first week's going to be rough because these kids are up till 2 a.m, you know, drinking Gatorade, eating Doritos. Their eating habits are horrible. Their sleep patterns are horrible. So, you know, you're not going to get a lot of sleep the first week. Yeah. But, you know, we wake them up at 6:30 and none of them are ready to get up at 6:30. So, you know, after a week of that, they kind of get readjusted to getting a normal sleep schedule. And, you know, we go to breakfast and we have breakfast at the university dining commons. And there's a whole slew of options for them to eat. You know, we restrict, you know, the desserts and the sodas and things like that. But in general, they can eat what they want. And it really brings them back to who they were before they got lost in digital addictions.
Well, I didn't even really, when we first talked, I didn't really consider including social media addiction as well, because that is huge for, especially for young people, just to be having to chase likes and follows and status updates and all of that stuff. It's just so encompassing that they lose sight of everything. And we're just so tied to our devices. I can't imagine the withdrawal in the first few weeks of not having whatever that is for them in handy and available to them. That's got to be, that's like smokers, that's like alcohol, it's all these addictions that we have, right? But having addicted to a device, that's got to be pretty tense for a little while there at the beginning.
Yeah. I'll ask the kids, you know, how many of you have ever posted a photo of yourself or any photo on social media and then taken it down within an hour because it didn't get enough likes? And invariably, every girl raises their hands, and typically about half of the boys. And I actually found that really fascinating because, you know, when I post something on social media, it's because I like it. It doesn't occur to me that anybody else might like it. So I, you know, I don't care. But, you know, for a teenager today, it's everything. And we had one girl who came to camp, and she was so reluctant to hand over her phone, and she finally did. But she was just distraught for the first 2 days because the last image she saw was her best friend at a local pizza parlor with her family, and in the background was another friend, and that's all the picture was. But she was convinced that they waited till she left for camp to have this, you know, fun friend pizza party to deliberately exclude her, not invite her, and they hate her, and now she's here for 4 weeks, and her life is just hell. And our clinician actually got so bad that our clinician contacted the mom and had the mom contact the friend's mom and found out that it was just a family pizza. It was there was no event. Yeah. There was no party. There happened to be another kid from school that she knew that was also there. But it it was a news flash to her that nobody thought about her. It wasn't to exclude her. They don't hate her. They didn't give her a single thought. But she lives and dies on social media, so that's immediately.
So the idea of the Reset Summer Camp, Michael, is not to completely erase, say, Fortnite or Instagram or whatever from somebody's lifestyle and what they love and what they enjoy. It's not about removing it completely. It's about just bringing back a refocused attention on what's really important and maybe a more of a balance to how we do life. Is that the idea?
Yeah, exactly. The very first day when the kids arrive, we tell them that nobody here will ever tell you never to play a video game again. Nobody will ever tell you never to be on social media again, because that's just not the reality of the world we live in. But, you know, this is not punishment camp, even though they all feel they're being punished. This is learn how to get what you want in life camp. And 20 hours a day of gaming or YouTube is not going to get you there. So we do classes throughout the 4 weeks about what big tech actually wants from you. And it's not your fun and your enjoyment. Right. It's your time and your money and your friends' time and their money. We do what's your financial footprint, and we go through what they think they cost every month. And we talk about, you know, rent and gas and how many Ubers do you take? How often do you visit Starbucks? How many online, you know, subscription services do you subscribe to? What's your cell phone bill? You know, and who's currently paying all that? And, you know, and then I'll say, how many of you want to live with your parents when you're 25?
Nobody
raises their hand. And I'm like, well, you're on the path to do just that unless you get a handle on your life. So you can have a healthy balance. You can play your video games, but you need to get enough sleep. You need good nutrition. You need to do good in school. You need to be a good member of your family. You need to have outside real world activities, and gaming or social media can just be an add-on to that. It doesn't need to be an all-encompassing piece of your life.
I think the big challenge from a parent's perspective is that it may be that as parents, we're not so technology-based. We don't really understand technology. We're not even maybe as into it as our kids might be. So we don't understand the impacts and the effects that all of this tech has on our kids, because to us, it's like, it's nothing. It's nothing to us. It's like a television show. I could watch it. I don't have to watch it. Big deal. And so it seems like we kind of downplay how powerful it can be as far as a grip over our kids until we just don't see them anymore. They're down in the basement. They're in their room. They're just like absent. All of a sudden they just, where is everybody? And everybody's on their devices or doing whatever. For the parents that are not tech savvy, just explain how this grip is so real and what you're seeing when these kids come through the door.
Well, the kids today, a lot of their social life is online, you know, and that's through text messaging, through chats, through comments, through posting on social media. The gamers are more chatting in formats like Discord or the chat boxes within the game. And we'll tell the kids that that's fine. You know, if that's the world you're living in, then that's fine. But it still needs to be within a healthy balance. It's funny, when I talk to a group of parents, I'll say, what's the one thing that we as parents like more than anything at home? And I'll advance the screen on my PowerPoint and I have the word quiet that pops up. And I'm like, we like it quiet. And we tell ourselves they're up there doing their homework, you know, or they're studying or whatever. And they're not. They're playing a video game. They're on social media. They have their earphones in. You can't hear what they hear. And yeah, it's quiet, but you're not getting any result. And it's funny, when I interview therapists to come work for us, I get a lot of them who say they're addiction specialists. And typically that means drug and alcohol. And that is not the specialist I'm looking for, because drug and alcohol addiction is different. You need to stop doing that. You know, you need to never do it again. You need to get into a 12-step program, find a sponsor, you know, whatever you need to do to stop doing that. We are actually similar to a food addiction. You know, you need to eat.
True.
You just don't need to eat 20,000 calories every meal. So it's more of a behavioral change than a stop everything change.
That's great. I'm glad that you clarified that, Michael. That's really important for people to clue into. What I love, Michael, is from your expertise for the dads and the families that are listening to Dad Space. Is there any kind of indicators that we as parents can kind of put up as like a little radar in our home that kind of goes, wait a minute, maybe I missed this and maybe I need to kind of take a look at this in my home with my kids? What are some other things beyond the silence in our home that make us kind of go, we really need to look at our kids and maybe Reset Summer Camp might be perfect for our kids? What kind of things should be beyond the radar looking at when we interact with our kids at home?
Well, I'm smiling because I get this question all the time.
Good.
And if a parent asks me, you know, how do we know if there's a problem? Chances are they already know there's a problem just by asking that question. The first thing you can do is, if you go to my website, resetsummercamp.com, a pop-up window shows up and you can download for free a PDF file that is the top 8 signs that your teen might be at risk for technology addiction.
Good.
But the things that I talk to parents about are rotten sleep schedule. You know, if they're up until 2-3 in the morning, if they are withdrawn, they don't come downstairs when it's dinner time. They don't participate in family activities. They can't, you know, leave their room because, you know, they're in the middle of a game. And let me talk for a minute about gaming. When we were kids, you know, we had, well, first of all, when we were kids, we had to go to an arcade with quarters to play a video game. But when video games came into the home, we had a screen that said game over. You know, video games ended.
Right.
Today, they don't end. There's just a constant bottomless quest. There is no excuse to sign off on a video game.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge that kids have today, because their brains are not fully developed, is knowing when to stop, when to not do the next quest. And very often, you know, they have friends online that they're playing with and they don't want to be left out. There's that fear of missing out kind of thing. And I tell parents to communicate with the parents of their kids' friends and all agree that, you know, 9 o'clock at night, we're going to turn off the game. So nobody's missing out because everybody's logging off. But I also had a therapist I talked to once, and he said that we, our generation, are digital immigrants, because we grew up outside of the digital age and then came into it. Yeah. And kids today are digital natives because they've grown up with digital devices. And then another therapist I work with said, I don't like the digital native reference. It's more like they're digital orphans, which I like much better, because a digital orphan has nobody ahead of them to show them what's dangerous, what's not, what's a good device, what's a good social media platform. You know, they're digital orphans.
Wow.
So the biggest challenge I have with parents is that they try too hard to be their kid's friend and not hard enough to be their kid's parent. And I tell parents all the time, your kids will have plenty of friends throughout their life. You need to be, you know, I hate to use this word, but the disciplinarian, the rule maker. You need to lead by example. You need to be the parent, set the boundaries, set the rules, and stick to them. Sure, there might be a tantrum here or there. There might be some bad language, some bad behaviors. We get it at camp every year. It'll pass.
Yeah.
If you stick to your guns. But so many parents are just so reluctant to even start the conversation.
There has to be thousands and thousands of stories that come to mind when you think back at your interactions with the kids and with the families. When they've graduated the 4 weeks, they're all done, they're ready to pack up and go home again. There's got to be some really big gems in your mind that pop out to you as the leader of this that just reinforces for you that this is a good thing. We need Reset Summer Camp. Can you kind of reflect on that a little bit? And maybe something that pops to mind is kind of as they're packing up and getting in the car to leave, what kind of comments coming back to you from your campers or the families that really stuck with you over the years?
Well, what's funny is, you know, when they pack up and they're ready to leave, you know, the kids are reluctant because they established new friends and made new connections. So they're not excited to leave, but they're also excited to get back to their games or their devices and things like that. Even though they are on a healthy schedule, healthy eating, we follow up with each family for 8 weeks after the program to make sure that they've maintained the sleep schedule, maintained the eating schedule, you know, and that they have a healthy balance with their technology. We have a behavioral contract that the kid and the parent signs. Our program ends with a family workshop weekend where at least one parent has to come in on Friday and stay till Sunday.
Good.
Participate in a family therapy session. We tell the parents to change the home environment while the kid is at camp. And we tell the kid that we're telling your parent to do that. Take the computer out of the bedroom, put it in the dining room or in the kitchen. So, you know, we're kind of establishing a new normal. And then as far as success stories go, you know, some of my favorites are the kids who were failing school and now they're in college doing well. We do an improv class, which is just a funny, joking kind of, you know, fun way to spend an hour or two. And I've now been to 4 high school plays from kids who, you know, when they arrived, they weren't making eye contact, their grades were sucking. And they ended up enjoying the improv class. They went back to their high school, joined their high school drama club, and then now they're in a play and they invited me to come see it.
Nice.
So, you know, that's super fun. We also do a self-defense class. So a lot of kids have gone on and joined local gyms and now they're really into doing martial arts.
Good.
And it doesn't have to be something physical. You know, we have kids that learned how to play the guitar and now they're, you know, becoming musicians. They're just finding something else to do. And social media and gaming is still part of their lives, but it's just a part. It's not
everything.
All of their.
Yeah. The other part, I guess, I get scared of as a parent is, again, the kids are off in their room. They're off out of sight doing whatever they're doing online, is how dangerous online can be. I watched a video recently where a 14-year-old was told by someone on stream or some kind of stream that the world didn't need that 14-year-old and that they shouldn't be here. And that 14-year-old looked like he looked so sad to hear that from someone else. And someone else came on to talk to him and he told them what happened. And that person did the opposite. They built them up. They told them how important they were. But I'm so nervous about who our kids are talking to, what they're being exposed to. Again, we don't know what's happening with those earphones on in silence in your bedroom. Who are you talking to and what are they telling you about you? I think as parents, we need to be there to support and build our kids up and give them a real honest look at who they are and support them and be there for them And if they're getting all these messaging from strangers, I'm just afraid of what kind of impact that's having on them long term. How important is it to protect our kids in the online world? As a parent, again, maybe a non-techie parent who doesn't understand what's going on, how important is it for us to shield our kids from some of that negative influence online?
Well, you know, I steer away from the word shield.
Okay.
Because you can only protect your kids so much.
Okay.
You know, we recommend to parents to remove technology from the bedroom, put it in a family central location like the dining room or the kitchen. We also suggest removing all technology from the bedroom. So if your kid is used to waking up with their cell phone as their alarm clock, go to Walmart, buy a $4 alarm clock, put it on the dresser, not on the table next to the bed. So you actually have to get up out of bed to go turn it off, and then you're up.
Yeah.
And don't let them sleep with their cell phones.
Yeah.
You know, have those on a charger in the master bedroom. Some parents put a padlock on the closet door with a power strip in there so you can't access your cell phone when you're supposed to be sleeping. We also recommend getting rid of the earphones completely. So you'll hear the gunshots and the explosions if they're playing a violent video game, but you'll also hear what's being said.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of kids getting messages like text messages or you know, Instagram chats or things like that, you know, you can't protect them from everything. So what I recommend parents to do is have an open, non-judgmental check-in with their kids starting on a daily basis. You know, like if your kid plays a video game, create a character and play it with them. You might think it's the stupidest thing in the world, but it's important to your kid.
Yeah, exactly.
So learn what it is that's important to them, see what they're doing, see why they're on this quest that they're on. See who's chatting with them and who they're chatting back with. Brace yourself for some bad language and some abbreviations you don't understand.
Yeah.
But if you do it in a non-judgmental way, you can say, what does that mean? Oh, okay, I understand. Same thing with girls, mostly on social media. And this is much more difficult. When I talk to moms, I'll say, have your daughter show you her social media. And don't say, oh my God, you posted a picture of yourself in that outfit?
Yeah.
You know, because that'll immediately shut her down.
Yeah.
The thing is, if she did post something, she's already posted it. So you need to have a non-judgmental conversation. You just want to see. You want to see what she's commenting on. You want to see who's commenting on her stuff. You know, ask her about her friends. And, you know, it's so funny because I had one parent say, well, my child's best friend at school is Asian and we don't speak Chinese. That was her excuse for not reaching out and contacting the kid's best friend's parent.
Mm.
And I pulled out my phone. I opened up Google Translate. I said, I spent a month in China teaching summer camp, you know, systems, and I don't speak Chinese either, you know, but you can use the Google Translate. It'll be broken. It won't be great, but you can get your message across.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no excuse to not step up and know what your child is doing and who they're doing it with, and to establish yourself as the parental control so they're not super late at night doing these things, and they're not doing these things when they should be studying, sleeping, involved with family, or doing schoolwork.
Yeah. So, Michael, if there's someone, a parent listening to this, and they're like, I want my son or daughter to hear this episode, and so far we've been talking really heavily focused on the parent side of all this, I would love to spin it now to the student that's listening to this, because their parents are making them listen to this episode, to hear you talk to them directly, to the student, about, okay, so my parents are thinking about sending me to this camp. You know, A, I don't know who you are. I don't know anybody other than your staff. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm a little bit hesitant that I might not like any of this. If you could talk to the student that's been handed the phone to listen to this episode and have a little bit of time with them, what kind of messaging do you have for that student about Reset Summer Camp?
Well, the first thing I would say is your parents are considering sending you to our program because they love you and they want what's best for you.
Yeah.
And they've recognized a problem, even if you don't recognize it, of excessive screen time, be it gaming or social media or whatever. And we understand that it is super important to you, but it's also hindering, you know, your availability and success in the other areas of your life, be it schoolwork, home life, family time, or getting enough sleep. We talk about sleep every day at camp. And so when you come to camp, like I said, Nobody's going to tell you you can't play a game. Nobody's going to tell you you can't be on social media. The camp is about getting a hold of who you really are, getting you to recognize a healthy balance in your life, and exposing you to some new activities in the real world with kids who are struggling with the same things that you are that you might not have experienced before. We do, like I said, we do lots of different sports. We do volleyball, basketball. We do frisbee golf. We do a lot of different activities from music to art to self-defense. We do yoga. And we do a lot of life skills. So like I said, the cooking class is one of our most popular classes. But we teach you about smart shopping. We teach you how to do your own laundry. And if you're thinking you don't need these skills, you do. Because there will come a time when you've graduated high school or you've gotten your GED or you're ready to move out and be on your own, be it going to college or getting your own apartment. And you need to learn and have the knowledge of how to care for yourself. And that's all we do. It's reset.
Yeah.
So it's not the punishment it sounds like.
No. As well, Michael, if there's somebody listening to this and they're interested in sponsoring Reset Summer Camp and maybe helping with some of the finances that go along with this, I can't believe this is a cheap endeavor by any means to pull all this off. Is there a way that people can donate to Reset Summer Camp that maybe not sending their kids, but they just want a gift to you and your organization?
Well, we've had that question a lot, and I'm actually thinking of starting something like a GoFundMe or something for that purpose. I haven't yet, so you could just email me.
Okay.
If you go to my website, resetsummercamp.com, at the bottom of the front page is my personal cell phone and my email address, so you can reach out and contact me that way. But like I said, from a summer camp standpoint, we're pretty expensive. From a therapeutic residential treatment standpoint, we're the cheapest game in town.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love it. And then you talked about that behavioral contract that you have at the end of the 4 weeks with a family. Any key elements to that we can kind of highlight for the benefit of a listener?
Well, the behavioral contract is more of a fill in the blank kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's an agreement between the parents and the child that the child will do XYZ in exchange for so much time on their phones or their video games or whatever. And it's unique to every family. It also depends on how dependent on the devices the kids are. We don't introduce it until the end of the fourth week. So the kids are pretty well detoxed from whatever it is anyway. So it's really just a framework to continue the family conversation.
Good.
You know, no two are alike. The one thing I will say is the parents need to be in agreement. You know, we discuss that during our screening process. We discuss it in the very first module of the online course. Very often, you know, typically a mom sees a real serious problem with screen addiction. And the dad's like, oh, it's no big deal. It's fine.
Yeah.
And so my advice to parents is if one of you sees a problem, there's a problem. So you need to be on the same page to help your child move forward.
Yeah. Amazing. I've seen it in my own home, Michael. And at that point, I had no idea that your amazing camp existed. Probably could have made things a lot easier as we kind of wrestled through it. Thankfully, my kids have kind of grown past it to some degree. I'm sure that they loved still gaming and being a part of it. But life has kind of made them change their priorities a little bit. But I just think this is such a great idea. I wish we had a camp in every state, every province up here in Canada, multiple spots, because I think you could help so many people. And I think it's something that's going to just continue to grow if it's never addressed. It's just going to keep getting larger and larger. And for the sake of our kids to have a well-balanced life, to see them excited to do life every day, to get away from being talked down to or made fun of or feeling like they're missing out on a online platform, be present in the home. You know, like the whole idea about having family dinner time just seems so strange and foreign now to have everyone with feet under the table at dinner, where growing up, that was normal. That was
right.
Expected. And the world is so different. So what I love is that you're really hitting that big reset button with our kids. I'm so excited that you're doing this.
One of the biggest challenges I face with this program is what I call parental denial. So like when I'm running a traditional camp, like I said, I'd get kids signing up next year before they left this year, you know, and by December we might have a full program. In this model, we don't get the bulk of our signups until like April and May, wow, when parents are realizing that even though they said they'd stop gaming, they're not.
Yeah.
Even though they said they'd get their grades up, they aren't. Even though they said they'd be on social media less and get better sleep, they're not. And parents are realizing that summer vacation is coming and, oh, darn, I don't want this kid home just 24/7 on their screens.
Yeah.
So, you know, then they, you know, seek us out. So what I'm trying to do, you know, being a podcast guest, is to try to get some realization early from parents who can reach out to me. You know, they can call. I get phone calls every day from parents, you know, having the same conversation we're having, asking if, you know, they need this for their kid. And, you know, to get parents to get out of the shame and the embarrassment model that they're in, that how did this happen? How did I let this happen to my kid? And step up and do something about it. And be it our online course or sending your kid to our program in July, you know, we can help. And we're here to help.
I love it. It's a great resource, Michael. I'm applauding you here. I think it's a great idea. I hope that this never ends and just continues to grow and you see the results coming back to you every single time you go through the program with these kids. Thank you for doing this. Of all the things in life you could be doing, there's probably a lot of self-serving things that could have brought you a lot of money and success. But the fact that you're really focused in on this, leading the Reset Summer Camp, I just think there's something special about you and the people that work with you that pour themselves into these kids. Thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you.
It's amazing. So everyone, all the information, and I know you're going to want to reach out to Michael and his team, all in the show notes. ResetSummerCamp.com is the website. And the dates are there for this year. And the online course is there for parents as well. So make sure you go there and check out the site. It's a great site. There's video clips where they've been featured in the news as well. And I would love for you to reach out to Michael and have the conversation. If this works for you and your family, I think you're going to benefit. Michael, thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Awesome.
Hey, thanks for listening to Dad Space today. I'm so thankful that you were here for this episode. If you like the show, please let another dad know. Hey, that kind of rhymed. Anyways, share the episode out with somebody in your circle who would love Dad Space. That means so much to us here for our guests who donate their time to be on the show. And we just want to see this grow. So, again, another rhyme. Oh, wow. Anyhow, think I need to write a song or something. Thank you for being here with Dad Space. And again, looking forward to the next episode. Look forward to having you here again with us. And if we can help you in any way, if you have a great guest idea for the show, a topic that you would love us to cover, we would love to do that here on Dad Space. So thanks for listening and thanks for being part of the community. And to you, Dad, thank you for listening and thank you for sharing Dad Space. Catch you on the next one. Take care.